with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen, 98.1 FM, also 107.5 HD3. And you can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
Okay, let's go out to the hotline. I want to bring in our friend Sean Keeler, excellent columnist for the Denver Post. Right now he's at Regis High School covering the 5A semifinals, but we are not here to talk with Sean about that. We're here to talk to him about his new column. And I got to tell you, Sean, I think you and Kiz are excellent. And this is not, I'm not blowing smoke. You guys are excellent columnists. I don't know who writes his headlines, which are very good, but whoever writes yours are unbelievable. I hate the term clickbait because sometimes that sounds cheap, but your headline is unreal. I mean, you took shots at two organizations, so good for you. This is what it says. If Philip Lindsay becomes the next Shaq Barrett, Broncos general manager George Payton is going to get Jeff Breidich off the hook. You really believe that?
That's a lot of buzzword nouns in one headline, isn't it? Do I believe that? Yeah, but there's still a long way to go. What was it Peyton just said? This is there's a lot of time till they snap the ball. But today was not his best day. This morning was not his best morning. But certainly that was I definitely know that, as you could imagine, that Brady was probably pretty pleased to hear someone else be told they don't know what they're doing instead of him.
What do you think it means that Payton, when he did address the media today, said, quote, "We have a long way to go to build this football team," unquote? Is he kind of trying to manage expectations and sort of prepare for maybe some things like the perception that would happen if Philip Lindsay goes off somewhere else and succeeds?
Well, I think there's also the reality of where we're at. I mean, I've written about this, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it. He's got a 6-year contract. He is not charged to make the Broncos a winner in 2021. Does he want to? Yeah. Is that what he's ultimately going to be judged on? No. It's about 2 years from now. He's on a marathon in a town that's always thinking about the sprint. That's going to be interesting. And I think there's a lot of slow to roll. And I get that, and I can see the logic in that, too, because I think we'd all be saying the same thing. I think what he's going to run into is that this is not a football community that thinks that way, and nor should it. And that's going to be a learning process, I think, on both sides. And he may be in for a rude awakening, as the coaching staff will be, if they're 1-4 or something again, while preaching patience.
We are talking with Sean Keeler, excellent columnist for the Denver Post. Every once in a while, Mace and I play a game called role play. No, it's not that. No, it's not that.
Easy.
No, it's not that. Okay. No, 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 it's not a scene out of Billions on Showtime with the DA. It's not that.
Although you asked me to play the role of John Elway in the last segment, that was a little bit hard for me because I was attacking it with a lot of self-awareness that I'm not sure Elway has at
it's
times.
Funny you should say that because we're going to do the same game. Sean, you're going to be John Elway listening to George Payton's press conference today, and I'm going to be George Payton. And you tell me what John Elway says. George says, that's me, we have a long way to go to build this football team. What are you thinking if you're John Elway, who built this football team over the last 10 years?
I'm glad I got Vaughn back. There were moments that I wondered if Elway had his hand in it, running him on the ventriloquist game. There was a Charlie McCarthy, Edgar Bergen thing going when he starts talking about Vaughn that way.
No, I'm not talking about Vaughn. Payton basically said we have to build this football team, and Elway apparently didn't build it well.
Well, I think Elway's got to have enough of a sense of reality to know that. He just won't say it. He probably wouldn't admit it. So there's maybe a little bit of discomfort there, but I think that's helpful. I think a little, just like the mirror tells me every day, sometimes a little honesty is healthy.
Okay. So I've been listening to sports talk radio all day. I've been in my car a lot. And sports talk radio is buzzing with Philip Lindsay outrage. And that's partially what your column is about. Boy, you're getting rid of Philip Lindsay. Let me ask you something honestly. If Philip Lindsay grew up in Yakima, Washington, and went to Northern Arizona and was drafted in the fifth round, would there be this much outrage today?
Nope. And I make that point in the column that you referenced at the top of the segment. Yeah, I said, if you're a St. Louis kid and went to Arkansas, would we care about a small guy that doesn't block well and doesn't always catch the ball? And the answer is no. We would not. But we don't live in a vacuum either. It's easy, and I've had several people make that argument today, publicly and privately, but that doesn't change the fact that this is a local kid made good, and this is a, quote, special case, unquote. Now, clearly, he's not someone who cares about that nostalgia, as most NFL general managers don't, and that's fine. But it does factor in. I think people will heal from today. I think this is the rage day, and you let them get it over with, and everybody kind of moves on, and there's something new to play with. The thing that George Payton is going to have to do is he's going to have to put some more new toys on the table, and toys are a little more exciting than Mike Boone and Ronald Darby, to be fair, and he will. I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Real quick, could you talk more into your phone because you kind of faded out there during that response?
Sorry, driving, guys.
It's okay. We really don't care what you have to say anyway, so just put us on Bluetooth.
No.
So you also
role-playing, you never care.
So you also wrote this week about CU, of course, going in the tournament. They got the game against Georgetown, the dreaded 5-12 matchup. Well, dreaded if you're the five like CU. And you say Charles Barkley should be singing praises of CU Buffs Tad Boyle. That's the headline. This NCAA tournament might change that. How much is on the line for CU and Tad Boyle, and how badly, for what they've done over the last decade, how badly do they need, I'd say, a Sweet 16 run to validate this program?
I don't think they need it badly. I think they want it. I think you're going to have, they're 1-4 with him under the dance. They're 0-3 in the last trips. Should have gone last year. It's kind of a mulligan for everybody there. I don't think Tad Boyle is going to be in serious trouble if he loses to Georgetown.
No.
Now, our old narrative is going to come right back, and then we're going to go, same old Tad, this is why, this is why it's not a college shootdown. This is CU's ceiling. They're the team that goes 21-10 and never wins anything of significance. You're going to have to fight that narrative. Again, just like me in the mirror, I want to stop being ugly, but it ain't changing. I think it would be important to do that. I think it would help his national profile substantially to beat Patrick Ewing on Saturday. But locally, I don't know that Rick George is running around going to get somebody better as a fit and for a consistency standpoint than what you've got at Chad Boyle. I made that point in my column this morning and last night. Reminds me very much of Chad Boyle, but Dr. Tom Bates in Iowa. I know Eric remembers him a little bit. And I don't think so, but it's very similar to Tad Boyle here, where there's a point where someone's going to ask, is good enough? But they are good. And I don't have an answer. I think with George is fine with that, but some boosters may not be if they go 1-done again.
Of course, the thing is, at least Dr. Tom Davis got to the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 from time to time. I mean, there's a difference.
Like, very rarely.
Yeah.
Very rarely.
He got there. Yeah, Sweet 16 three times. One of them was an Elite Eight at Iowa. And yeah, after a while, you get tired of that. But even Dr. Tom accomplished more than Tad has. Of course, that being said, Iowa had been more as a basketball program before Dr. Tom arrived than CU, which was basically non-existent.
Yeah, you're you've got to consider the long view with senior hoops. And that doesn't make anybody under 30 all that excited, because all you've known is just being there pretty good and kind of there. But I remember pre-Ricardo very well, and I remember the Aptees and the rest of it. I remember when there were a few places on the road that a Johnny Orr Iowa State team could win in the 80s, and Boulder was one of them. You don't want to be that. It goes without saying, they're in a far better place. Really, they're not just in a far better place. I think CU is in this place. It's been in basketball since Sox Walton, so we're talking mid-70s. And I'm not sure anybody, frankly, right now, that I could think off the top of my head that could do it consistently better. And there may be people, and I said it in the column, there anybody can bring in 3 5-star guys and maybe win for 2 years at CU. But you got to think, if that guy goes 25-5 in Boulder, he's going to stick around for year 3. Do you really think he would do that? I don't think so. So I guess it's kind of pick your poison. You're like, I'd rather get a guy who's going to get me, you know, the 26-4 one year, and I don't care because I got you an Elite Eight. You're not going to sign that guy. You're not going to throw money at him. If you want to go 20-9 every year, you've got that guy right now. So I can't answer that question not being a CU alum, but those are your options.
Hey, Sean, really appreciate your time. We know that you're really busy with the high school basketball playoffs. Always enjoy reading your columns. Much love to the guy who does your headlines, and, of course, to you, who always writes provocative columns. And, again, I've said it before, and I'll repeat it. Stop writing good columns, and I'll stop calling you to come on the show.
Stop role-playing, and I just might.
Don't flatter yourself. I don't find you that interesting, Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, come on.
My man, Sean Keeler. All right, coming up after the break, we had a conversation yesterday about a free agent, about a cornerback who could hit the market. And guess what? He did. Who is he? And what kind of difference could he make to the Broncos if for some reason he comes here? That's next.